All right, welcome back. Get excited. We're talking about sex tonight. Start the new year off with a bang. That's it. Man, come on. I actually didn't plan that. I've been known to plant jokes. That was not one, I can assure you. But it is funny. Every time you talk about sex, everything becomes, it kind of has a sexual innuendo to it. And we teach a pre-married class in here. And it's like a bunch of junior high kids, man. Everything is... You know, they just kind of laugh and giggle and things like that. So you guys will probably be no different, but we'll have fun kind of looking at God's Word together. So my name is John. This is my wife, Pam, and I am the Director of Marriage Ministry here at Watermark and Director of Reengage. And it's been a really fun part of our life to be able to do this together here at this church. And it's an honor. It really is to get to do what we do and to think about what God's done here and to think about what God's going to do in and through Reengage. It's just an honor to get to be a part of that. So tonight we wanted to talk about sex and you know, just to start off with, I would say one of the two. I normally see couples make one of two kind of errors, and the first one is that they make too little of sex. And so it'll go like this. It'll say, hey, you know, our marriage is, we're okay. You know, our sex life, it isn't very good. And either we don't have sex or it's very infrequent. You know, which, by the way, it's always infrequent to somebody in the relationship, right? There's always going to be, it's never the same. Your sex drive will never, ever be the same, ever. It might be. It'll probably be 2 days in your life that they cross, you know, and the guy will be traveling that you'll never get to have those synced up together. But it's either generally too infrequent. And it's not something that is talked about because it's just what, and the phrase will happen, it's just sex. It's just our sex life. And we're okay, or we're striving to be okay, but we don't really talk about sex, or we don't really kind of go there. And that's okay because it's just sex, right? And that's an error. That's not what God intended. The other error that's just as bad is to make way too much of it, and it becomes kind of the central focus and the centerpiece conversation in marriage. Every time we talk about it, every time we think about it, every time we want to have a discussion about how things are going, it is the singular issue to talk about. And we just kind of, we will think, if we can just get this piece right, then everything else will be just fine. And if we really need to work on this sex thing and really make sure that we get it right, and we have great sex, and this part is working as it should. And once we get that, everything will be okay. And so, and consequently, when that's the view, when it isn't going as well as it should, it really wrecks us. And it exposes in our heart that we've put something there that was intended for God to be, have the place and God to be primary. We've made something else primary. And anytime something else is primary in our life, anything else is first, and it doesn't work out the way it should, it wrecks us. And it exposes that we've made an idol. We've made something that God intended as a gift to be an ultimate thing, something that's a good thing to be an ultimate thing. Okay, so whatever we do, wherever we are with sex, we've got to make sure that we don't view it as just sex. We don't minimize it. We don't take it for granted, and we also don't maximize it and make it the singular issue. And we need to help it sit in our relationship, the place that God would have it sit. Okay, so we'll talk about that. We're going to kind of free roam up here, but our thought was to talk about just kind of what God says about sex. Talk about like what's permissible and not for Christians. That's always a question we get in the hallway. You know, someone will come up in hushed tones, so we'll answer the questions that you're asking, and then talk about maybe some charges just to the men, or some thoughts for the men, some thoughts just for the women. And if we have some more time, we'll do some other things. So let's start with just kind of what God says and thinks about sex, and just kind of biblically an understanding of that.
Yeah, so just as John said, just really getting a handle on the theology, and of course we want to start with what God's Word says first. And so just the first point, that just it is good, that specifically our bodies are good. In Genesis 1:27, God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him, male and female he created them, and God saw what he had made, and it was not just good like everything else, but it was very good. And David talks about in Psalm, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, and I praise you, Lord. And so just truly believing that our bodies are good will just be a foundation for just a road to a great sex life.
Oh, that's good. So our body, we have to see our bodies as good, as a gift from God. Okay. Secondly, is we've got to view sex itself as good, right? And so in Genesis 1:27, God says basically, be fruitful and multiply. You know, condense it down, have sex, guys. I mean, go out and have sex. This is a good thing that I've created. And so it's really hard for us today to think about sex just out in a vacuum and being removed from some of the tainted things we've seen, some of the tainted things that we've done, some of the thoughts we've had, some of the pain and hurt that's there, just to see it as, I mean, this whole thing in marriage is supposed to be a good thing. It's really hard, given some of our background and some of our baggage. You know, back in the garden, I laugh. I don't know if a guy would think this. Most guys would think this way, but I just think about there's only two people on the planet, right? And nobody has any clothes, and God just says, "Go have sex." You know, it's like every dude's dream out in the fields, you know, and just kind of like, you know, birds flying by, you know, caw, you know, kind of just, you know, go Adam, go deer, you know, flying by and those kind of things. So that would have been fun, right? And that would have been, Adam had no woman to compare Eve to. She didn't know to compare herself to anyone else. They'd never had sex with anyone else that even knew what that was. They got to figure that all out together. That would have been fun, right? And I think it would have been much easier to believe that sex itself is good. That's not the world we live in. We've got a lot of baggage that we bring into marriage. And so for some of us, just the idea that sex is a good thing. It's not dirty. It's not gross. It's not something just to be managed. This is something good that God created. It will be really important to help us sitting it, not making too little of it, and not making too much of it. So,
And so not only the next thing, not only seeing that sex is good, but that it's a gift. And so especially just thinking back to the last few weeks and just gifts that you gave, maybe you gave some gifts to your children, and how fun that is to give a gift to someone and then to see them enjoy it. And that's the way God views sex for a husband and a wife, is a good gift. I think about driving to the far edge of Allen, to the new Cabela's, to hunt down that duck hunter game for our 8-year-old.
Did anybody get that for Christmas?
Get duck hunter?
What a waste. It's a little plastic bird that flies, you know, and he's like, we could not talk him off of it. He had to have this thing, and we can't even get it to fly yet, but you put it on a battery and it flies around, and you shoot it down with an infrared gun, you know. It's like
it looks great in the commercial.
It's going to last three times. So anyway, but yeah.
But he was overjoyed to open it.
Pam went and got it.
But I'm thinking how fun it was. I didn't mind driving up there to get that for him, because that's what he really wanted. And God gives this to us as a gift. And I was thinking today, just gratefulness for that gift can really do a lot to just alleviate just guilt from past. And also just even thinking about, okay, I'm maybe disappointed where I am. Maybe we're disappointed where we are. We don't have it all figured out yet like we thought we would. But just being grateful for that gift can so just heal some of those wounds from the past or even the present.
Yeah, it's good. So just seeing our bodies is good. Sex is good. Sex is a gift to be thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed. And then lastly, it's just a really great chance to glorify God. Okay, and 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether we eat, whether we drink, you could insert whether we have sex, do it all for the glory of God. Okay, so what does it look like to have sex? You know, for the glory of God, you don't have to sing hymns or pray. I don't, you know, but it would be that the way that you relate to each other, both in the bedroom and outside of that, brings honor and glory to God. And so that, you know, and I don't advocate doing this, but if we could just share, you know, the idea would be that, you know, guys, if your wife was to talk about their sex life with a friend, that she would go, you know what, the way he loves me, the way he's tender, the way he's kind, the way he doesn't force himself on me, makes it a real joy to be with him. But that glorifies and honors God, you know, and him to say, you know what, I'm not a perfect man, but the way my wife gives me grace and the way she responds to me sexually and makes herself available just blesses me. She is selfless in the bedroom. That glorifies God. We don't try to take advantage of each other, and we don't leave our Christianity somehow outside of the bedroom. We bring it in square, and we try to love each other the way Christ would have us, which is to put the other person first and to seek to please them first before ourselves. So it is an incredible opportunity to glorify God. Okay, not something separate from our Christian faith. And that really does help us set it in its proper place. Okay, so just to see sex, see our bodies as good, sex is good. Sex is a gift to be enjoyed and a real opportunity to glorify God. Really helps us set sex in its proper place. Okay, so tonight, I mean, if I had a hope for you, it would be that and you would begin to ask yourself, hey, where does sex sit, you know, in my own thoughts about our marriage? Where does it sit, as you know, for both of us? And what are the conversations to have kind of going forward? Like, what would it look for us to take a step towards each other in this area? For some of us, you know, we haven't had sex in a really, really long time. And it would be just to have that conversation. Hey, what would it look like for us to get to the place where we could even begin to kind of think about having sex? And for some of us, it would be, hey, what would it look like for me to serve you better in this area or move towards each other? Okay, your own unique conversation. Each of us will have a unique conversation, but that would be my hope for tonight. Our hope for tonight. So, any other thoughts before we?
No, I just I left out just on the it's a gift, but it just applies to all. I mean, obviously, if you look at God's word in Song of Solomon, that is a husband and wife fully enjoying the gift that He gave them. And Song of Solomon 5:1 just says, "Eat." Drink deeply, O lovers. You know, and their friends around him are saying, fully enjoy this gift. So for all those, just that kind of foundation of that theology that God put a whole book in His Word about this, and just the joy that it can bring.
Yeah, yeah, it's a crazy passage. So think about your friends outside, you know, but it's going, have at it, man, go get it. You know, that's kind of what's going on there in that passage, which I think would be, I'd be weird. I think if someone is in the other room yelling at me as I had sex, but they're telling him to have fun and enjoy it. It's a gift. I mean, go for it. Okay, so to enjoy it fully. Okay. So what is permissible for Christians in the bedroom? Okay, what's in bounds, what's out of bounds? We brought a clip from The Marriage Ref, if you guys ever saw that play on TV, which is, you know, not one thing in there I would agree with, but they make some great teaching points out of that. So we'll watch this clip as a good springboard to the discussion.
You can say what you want to say. We won't get a strip pole.
We're going to get one thing, yeah.
Let me tell you something.
I'm going to get one. I'm going to keep it in the garage, hanging on the wall, like it's a fishing pole. If you and I was at this house right here by ourselves, and it's Saturday night, put some rap music on, you'd be twirling all around that pole.
Never, with capital letters, have a stripper pole in this house.
I think it would be interesting to see my wife dancing on a pole for me. Baby, you're sexy to me. Let's have fun. Look at it from my point of view. Look at it from my point of view.
I can't see it from your point of view. Because you're not the one that has to be on now. I do. And I'm your wife, so you should respect me as your wife.
You should respect me as your husband.
You should respect me as your wife and say, you know what? That's my wife body. She don't want to get that stripper pole.
What did the preacher say?
What?
I'm the man of the household.
Okay, get one, you get on it.
No, I mean, don't get on the stripper pole.
All right, then, guess what? This woman don't need them.
You keep looking at it as a stripper pole, stripper pole.
What is it?
It's not a stripper pole.
Yes, it is.
It's an exercise pole.
There you go. I think the best, you guys were laughing, I don't know if you heard it, the best line I thought was, he says, hey, what did the preacher say? I'm the man of the house. And she goes, all right, you get on it then. So what does the Bible say about stripper poles? Right? I mean, you guys are asking. You ask me. So what? How do we think about stuff like that? How do we think about things that that vibrate, things that inflate, things that we bring into the bedroom, okay? Things that we've heard are normative or whatever. How, as a Christian, how do we make sense of all that? Okay, so here's what I want to do. I want to give you just kind of, I think, a framework in which you can kind of think about what's in bounds and what's out of bounds. Okay, I won't give you a lot of answers. I might share with you, let's start there, kind of with the framework. So any of this that you want to jump in on, go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, just right out of the bat, it cannot involve others other than the husband and wife. And so sex is designed to be enjoyed, as we've said, just between a husband and a wife only. And so that means physically, obviously, but mentally, emotionally, just it's between the husband and wife, body, soul, your mind, just two people. and it can't involve anybody else.
Yeah, so it, visually included, so like pornography would be off limits, right? Everybody you work with at work would say, yeah, I mean, you can watch porn before you have sex or while you have sex. That might help you get in the mood. And Jesus would say, if you look at another lustfully, you commit adultery. Okay, so whatever you do, it can't involve other people. Physically, emotionally, in your thoughts, or visibly. Okay, so it can't involve others. Second is that it can't be selfish. Okay, so love does not demand its own way. Philippians 2:3-4 talks about how we're supposed to do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Right, but in humility, we're supposed to consider others as better than ourselves, and that would include. That would include the bedroom. Right? We consider others as more important than ourselves, and so we don't make selfish demands on and of our spouse. Okay, and we wouldn't do the ethic of love says we wouldn't do anything that would obviously physically or emotionally hurt someone else. Okay, so whatever you want to do, whatever you don't want to do, you can't be selfish in your demands. Of your spouse, okay? And I think one of the things that's really helpful is to ask, you know, where did that idea even come from? So a lot of times guys will say, I can't get my wife to do this, and I'm really hung up on it. And so I just ask, hey, so where did you get that idea, you know? And I haven't heard it yet, you know. I've never had a guy who's, man, this morning I woke up, I was reading my Bible, you know, and just kind of praying through the Psalms. I just had this great idea that I feel like God gave me to do, and so she won't do it. And I'm really frustrated, right? It always comes from some pornography that they've seen, right, or something they've strung together because of that. And so I think that's really helpful to trace back where did those ideas come from. Now it is a gift to be enjoyed. Have fun, man. But whatever it is, it can't be selfish. You can't make selfish demands. Of your spouse, okay? Which would really kind of lead to the third one. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and so the third one, just right along with that, is it cannot violate your spouse's conscience. And so if maybe it's not specifically prohibited in Scripture, but your spouse is not okay with it, that would be wrong to push your spouse to do something that they were not okay with.
Yeah, it's good. And yeah, that's really clear in Scripture. Even if it's not wrong, if you ask someone to do something that would violate their conscience, you have now sinned. Even if the thing itself, the discussion happens around meat sacrificed to idols in Romans 14. And Paul's kind of saying it's really not bad. But if someone thinks it's a bad idea and it's wrong for them to do and you ask them to do that, you've now sinned. Okay, so we wouldn't ask someone to do something that that would violate their conscience. Okay, so and then... What's that? Oh, yeah, I forgot this one. It's actually explicitly spelled out in Scriptures. Hopefully this won't bum you out, but one of the boundaries is it can't involve animals. Okay, that's clearly laid out in Scripture, and so apparently in an agrarian society, you need to make that clear. So hopefully I didn't spoil anybody's fun tonight, okay? So outside of that, Scripture doesn't say much, okay? I do think the one probably exception I think I could make a case is anal sex. And so that one isn't explicitly mentioned in Scripture, but that really is associated with the homosexual act, and our bodies just that obviously wasn't the way God intended those things to kind of match up. Okay, and so could you love God and do that? I'm sure you could. Okay, but I would really be careful. I would think through that one and think through other passages that talk about the warning against homosexuality. That one I just kind of go, I think that one might be out of bounds, okay? And so then everything else then becomes sitting in that grid, you know, I mean, would it be selfish? Would it kind of involve others? Would it violate someone's conscience? I mean, I think there's just a lot of freedom for Christians there in the middle, okay, wherever they agree. And so then I think there's Scripture that talks about oral sex in the Song of Solomon. I think that's pretty clear, you know. The writer talks about blowing on gardens and things like that, and he's not talking about going out to the green beans or the radishes. He's talking, you know, there's and tasting fruit, and that's what he's talking about. Okay, is oral sex. And so, but it isn't okay if it violates one of those others that that someone goes, I just can't in good conscience do that. Okay? For right now, or forever, it's out of bounds, and you can still have a lot of fun. So then there's all the other stuff, you know, the things that vibrate and inflate and all that kind of stuff, man. And if that's your deal, you know, and you look at me in the eye and you go, man, we understand that grid, it fits in here. We've talked about it. We're both okay. Now I'd say, and this isn't the thing that we're depending on to make it great. We've got a great marriage that we're leveraging. I'd say, man, have at it, you know. That's just not like, you know, we don't have, if you came to our closet and looked in there, there's no bag of anything crazy that we'd be ashamed or our kids to find and run out, you know, at a Thanksgiving dinner holding or anything like that, okay? That's just not, but we've got friends that, man, they love Jesus, and that's just kind of their deal. And they, like, we've got some friends, they travel with that stuff. And I always just think, like, man, what's that like to go, like, what are you feeling every time you go through airport screening, you know, knowing that that guy might open that bag and just go, what is this, you know? So, but if that's your deal, right, if it's in the grid, you can't have that, okay? Just to remember that the goal of sex is not, you know, is to not just see how crazy and wild you can make it. I mean, if you have crazy wild sex, that's great, man, more power to you. But it's not to lay awake at night and go, how just wild can we make this thing, right? I mean, how could, you know, could we break something in this house while we, you know, get, that's not the goal, right? The goal is to love and serve and be one with each other, okay? If you hang from the chandeliers in the process, man, have at it, all right? I mean, I don't want to know about it, but you can, I think there's a lot of play in there, but that's not the goal, okay? So that frees us from trying to somehow feel like we're missing out on something because we've heard couples do this, okay? You don't have to fall prey to that trap. So, good. You want to talk to the gals for a second? Just some thoughts. Great.
Yeah. And so, just a few thoughts, kind of to us as women, just right off the bat. And again, we just keep saying it, but just making sure that your view of this topic is a biblically correct view. That it's not dirty. There may be stuff in your past that's your first reaction to that and just the things we see in the world, but that it is a good gift for us to enjoy in marriage that God gave us. And just really looking at it through that grid and praying that God would just kind of transform your mind. Like it says in Romans 12, just be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you can just see it that way. And then the second thing would just be, along that lines, it's just to pursue a correct image of our bodies. Just that Psalm 139:14. I praise you, Lord, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And just to really believe that God gave each of us the body he gave us, and we need to, you know, take care of it and all those things, that God gave us this body, and just to be thankful and free in that, and that just goes a long way, you know, just toward intimacy with, and just enjoying the intimacy with your husband. And then just seeing it as a good gift.
You know, and 1 second, baby. And guys, you can help your wife with that, right? Okay, so every woman, every man is self-conscious about his body. Every woman is even more so, generally. And you have a lot to do with the way she views her body. Okay, and so you can critique, as if you're trying to, you know, motivate and encourage your wife. You can critique what isn't perfect in an attempt to kind of motivate her. And guilt, shame, harsh words are a great short-term motivator. Long-term, I would just tell you they don't work out. And so, yeah, I think your better option is affirmation. And just to remind your wife, I mean, you know what? I'm really glad that I'm married to you. And I'm glad that God has made us one physically, and I'm glad that it's with this body that you have, and that excites me. Okay, you have a lot to do and say about the way she views her body. So, yeah.
And part of that whole body image thing for a lot of women can be traced back to sexual abuse. And so we know that statistics would say in a room this size, there's quite a few women and some men that have childhood sexual abuse in their past. And so we would just implore y'all, even if that happened decades ago, just to seek healing in that. And there's a great ministry here at Watermark called Shelter from the Storm, where we've seen personal friends of ours just come from a really hard place to just really enjoying their sex life fully, even with that in their past. And so, again, maybe it happened 20 years ago, and John talks about, you know, he would think, you know, it's like a broken arm. It just heals and you move on. Unless you deal with it and just really get healing in that, it will affect your marriage. And again, even if it happened years and years ago. And so just along that lines, just to be honest and just to seek healing together, what a great way to move toward oneness, to seek mm-hmm. that together as a team. The third thing, just to pursue your husband. So women, stereotypically, the guys, want sex more often. That's not always the case. There's a lot of women that desire it more than their husbands. But just to encourage us to initiate with our husbands, and not for them to always to be their idea. Just some girls in my community group, we've just said, okay, we're going to ask each other. I don't need to hear the details, but we're going to ask each other, okay, how many times last month was it your idea and not just your husband's? And maybe what's your goal for how many times you want to initiate? So even making that a part of accountability with other people is just to initiate, pursue him, and make that creative and fun. Another thing, we are their protection. So just to expound on that, if John did, or if you're one of your husbands did, look at pornography or any of that. That's their sin. We're not responsible for that. But being their helper suitable as their wife that God created us to be, we can help them in that area just by being available, by making an effort to respect them and love them and look good for them. And so just to really look at that, I love the way Gary Thomas talks about just the picture in the book Sacred Marriage, that wives, we're the only place that our husbands can shop. All the other stores are closed, and if our store's closed, there's nowhere he can go. And so just to look at that, we are his only outlet. When we deny him, it's ultimate denial, really, in this area. And so just to realize the power of that, and just to think about how Christ handled power, had the greatest power, and how he handled that with gentleness, and in Philippians 2, just laying down his life. And so just to kind of look at the power that we have that way.
Yeah, not to use it as, we talked about this with leaders before, and they were just like, man, we're watching some of our couples just use this in a manipulative way, right? I've got this thing that you don't have that you want, and so I'm now going to hold it out until you do what I want you to do, right? And so, my kids do that. My selfish little kids do that, and we're, as Christians, we don't do that. And when we have power, as Pam said, it's the Gentiles who, Lord, it's the pagans, it's the people who rebel against God. They're the ones that use their power to lord it over. Not so with you. We use the model of Christ, that he came to serve. And that's what we do with power. We serve. We don't lord it over. So that's really good.
And then the last thing I would just encourage us is just to ask our husbands just about his desires. And so men and women, we are different. And each husband and wife is uniquely just wired differently. And so I don't know. 16 years of marriage, I do know a lot of what John desires and what he enjoys and what feels good. But just still asking him and just being open and wanting to know what he enjoys, and vice versa. He's the same way. But just being willing to do that, and then also communicate our desires to them. I think for years I thought that was kind of selfish. But then just realizing he can't read my mind just like I can't read his. And just being willing to share honestly, what we enjoy and just our desires with each other, just again, we'll just go a long way with the intimacy.
It's good. It's really good. Hey, so what would you say? You mentioned the difference in sex drives. So there's the women in here, and they say, man, he comes home. I know what he's thinking about, after he's eaten, I know what's on his mind, right? So he wants to have sex, and I don't want to, or he wants to have sex a lot more than I want to have sex. Okay. What would you say to them?
I'd start and just and there's been nights early on, especially with little kids, that I just had to go, okay, and I would do this myself, like, Lord, I really don't have a desire. The pillow kind of just frankly sounds better tonight. But just thinking,
that's honest,
nope.
In front of like 200 different people. That's all right.
Talking about when the kids were not sleeping at all.
Yep.
Everyone's been there. You all know that. But just to go, okay, Lord, please give me the desire. And that's just always been a prayer that God's answered. Just give me strength. And I'm always glad. I'm always glad that I initiated or responded to John in that situation. But just to start off with your very most important relationship, the one with the Lord, just saying, Lord, give me the desire for my husband. And then the second thing would be, just like we always encourage people, just look at our own self first. Reengage. We draw a circle around ourselves and look at ourselves first. And so what is it about me that's being selfish in this situation? What is it about me that I could change? Maybe I could do something with my schedule. Maybe I could start thinking earlier in the day. Maybe I could write on my calendar, think sex, so that all day long I'm actually preparing and kind of thinking
in my
head.
There was a time I'd come home and I was like, what are these little TS's like on the date there? And once I figured it out, I was all like, you know, you always want to go in there and peek. It's like,
back to those early years when
wrapping
kids
up the meetings
were,
early.
There was
tonight.
Not
yeah.
much sleep and little kids were running around. Having other women in your life asking you, that kind of thing. And then after you've, you know, brought it before the Lord and looked at your own stuff, just then being willing to just, you know, talk to your husband humbly and say, you know, maybe when you pursue me this way, it doesn't make me feel loved. Mm-hmm. Or when you come in and just sit in front of the TV all day or all evening and then you want to have sex, that's not loving to me. So just being able and willing to have humbly, after you've looked at your own stuff, that conversation with your husband.
Yeah. And there's some gals out here that are going, well, that's not my problem. I have actually a much higher sex drive than my husband. Okay, so first off, just to know, you're not weird, you're not perverted or strange. Okay, there's lots of women in here, but it's kind of a lot of times it comes off as demeaning to the guy to say that, and so it's just something that's just kind of kept at bay a lot of times, especially in couple conversations. So there's several of you in here, right? And some of you guys are going, dude, would I be smitten with a wife with that problem, okay? But there are some women that have higher sex drive than men, or a guy that just got next to nothing, okay? And guys, you need to know that just as it's hurtful when she, you know, to a guy that when she's not available sexually, it's really hurtful to a woman as well, right? And so all she ever hears is how guys are sex crazed and you don't initiate with her, and that can be really hurtful. It can bring a lot of insecurity. And so the argument of 1 Corinthians 7 is that our bodies don't belong to ourselves, they belong to each other. And God, for a lot of reasons, wants us to have sex. It does help us kind of combat sexual temptation, and it really is one of the things that God gave us uniquely in marriage to bring about in oneness. And so, gals, I would definitely talk with your husband about that, all right, and not just get angry, fly off the hook, and begin to think about taking the next step. And then if not, you know, that there's no traction there for both of you together to go and just kind of say, hey, this is a tough thing for us. Can you, as a group, or your leader, help us think through this, okay? So let me give we're kind of running out of time. Let me give you a few thoughts for the guys, and then we will we'll close it. Okay. Just first, that all of marriage, guys, is foreplay. Okay. The way you treat your wife in the morning, the way you treated her yesterday, the day before, the way you are engaged in the finances, the way you're spiritually intimate, the way you're emotionally intimate, all that is connected and is foreplay to her. And it's really hard for a woman to be treated as second class up until 10:30, and then he puts his game face on and he's like, baby. You know, I've been thinking about you all day. When it's obvious he hasn't, you know, and he'll say or do whatever it is that he needs to say for the next 30 minutes to get what he wants. And that is really, really hard for a gal. And you just need to know that the quality of the marriage really is one of the things that you're going to leverage in the bedroom. Okay, you're able to kind of tune all that out, but that's all connected to her. I think we talked about the towel story in here before, but Pam came to me one night and she said, I got some ideas on our sex life. And I was like, I was really fired up. And she said, it's about the towels. And I said, awesome. Like, where are you going with this? This sounds really fun. And she said, no, it's you, before we have sex, you shower, which I appreciate, but you leave the bathroom a complete mess. And so then you want to have sex with me. And I'm thinking about the giant mess that's in there that I've got to clean up, you know? So I need you to kind of not, you know, not do that. And I'm like, but man, can you see the towels? You know, how is that connected to us in here? Where, you know? And so it was great. I didn't know. I wasn't thinking about the towels. I was thinking about something else. And so it was good to know I can deal with the towels. And so the question is, what are the towels in our marriage? And so sometimes it could be that you're just sloppy, you know. But other times, generally, there's, you know, you're not kind, or you're not patient, or you're not thoughtful, and then you want to have sex. And she's going, it's hard because of the towels. And so what are the towels in your relationship? It's all kind of connected for her. Okay. Secondly, guys and gals, we need to pursue purity. Okay, and that would include looking at porn, looking at other women. Man, we honor God and we honor our wives with our eyes, and so it is a great gift to a woman to know that you've got only eyes for her. It makes it much easier for her to give herself and be available to you when she knows you're the only one that you're looking at. Okay, and so we've got to fight for that. We need accountability. Regen on Monday night is a great place to begin to kind of go and get some help on that. Okay, we'll just keep moving. What's that? What are you thinking? So just to pursue her emotionally and physically and touch her in non-sexual ways. And so true confession, we took a marriage inventory several years ago, and there was a question on there, and it said, physical touch leads to sex. And Pam put, always. And so we're going over it, and it was like always or never. It was a scale. 5 is always. And so I saw it, and I said, oh, no, here's what the question is. It said, if I touch you, it's leading to sex. That's what the question is. She goes, I know what it meant. I understand you. I go, always? She goes, yeah, pretty much. I mean, I was blown away. That line from Christmas Vacation, if I woke up tomorrow with my head stapled to the carpet, I couldn't have been more surprised. I mean, I was caught off guard. And I said, well, that's fine. If that's the way that you view it, then obviously something's a mess. And I don't think that would be the case now. But that can't be the only time that we touch or pursue or emotionally intimate. Okay, and it has to happen. Again, sex starts in the morning. It starts in the kitchen. And then I just say, to ask your wife about her desires rather than trying to get what you want, ask her. If we were to take some ground in this area, what's one or two things I could do? Or what's a hope? Or what's a desire you have? And it may not actually be physical intimacy. It might be some steps before then. Okay. And some of us are in a really, really tough place with this area. And so I'd encourage you just to kind of say, yeah, tonight, like, you guys can pray for us, or here's what you need to know. But I'd encourage you to be honest, and I encourage you to think about what would the next step be, okay? And it may not be physical intimacy, okay? But just to think about the next step, okay? Good. You have anything else? I'll just close this. Okay, so I don't know if you guys have heard this story before, but we did premarital counseling. Pam and I actually were mentored by a couple. We didn't know what it was called. We just went to them and said, hey, we've heard word on the street is you guys know a lot about marriage. We want to hang out with you. And so they, we got premarital counseling. We didn't even know that's what it was. And so we go over there one night to this couple's house. And it was just a little, kind of a weird vibe. Something was different in the room. We didn't figure it out. And we figured it out. Oh, yeah, we're going to have a sex talk with these guys. So I'm 22 years old. Couldn't be more immature, or sexually charged. And so this guy says, okay, here's how it's going to go. John, we're going to walk around the, kind of the block. And the gals are going to go sit by the pool. And I'm just going, dude, you're splitting us up. And we're going to go talk with you guys about sex. And these guys were much, much, much older than us, like older that looks than anyone in this room here. And so I was really just kind of uncomfortable by the whole deal. And so we're walking around the block, and he is schooling me. I mean, he's using terms I'd never heard, and all this, telling me about their sex life and, just all this kind of stuff. And I just remember just looking down, just trying to, it'd be bad if I laughed, if I did all this kind of thing. I need to. And so he's, I'll never forget this. He's picking up nails. There was some construction in the area. He's got this big handful of nails, and he stops and he looks at me. He says, you know what? Sex with, we'll call her Susan. He goes, sex with Susan is better now than it's ever been. Yeah, and I just remember this vividly. I had like two kind of simultaneous thoughts. Like, one is, dude, like, that's really gross. Like, I don't want to, no, like, grandparents old, I don't even know. And second was like, that's bull, It's bull, and you know it is. This is like Santa Claus. It's a mean trick we play to newlyweds. The old couples tell them it gets better over time. Ha, ha, ha. I find out later that's not the truth. Like, we know this, It's cut. And I'll be doggone, if years later I don't read that couples that report, the couples, they talk about couples that have high levels of satisfaction, the couples that have the highest level of satisfaction on balance are kind of the 55 age, right? And so for some of you, that's like your parents, and they're home alone right now. Did I think about that right? So the 55 kind of plus, and they're the ones that aren't, it is physical, it's always physical, but a lot of them have fought a lot of battles together. They've done a lot of, they've gone through a lot of hardships together. And so when they have sex, they're celebrating all of that. And it's not just physical. They probably don't have sex as often as a 22-year-old could, But the sex they have has the potential to be so much better because there's such a celebration of the investment of the relationship, you know, and that should give us great hope. That even as bad as it is, no matter what's happened, that we could get to a place even later, much later in life. And I think they were actually past 55, and that we could mess with some young kids and go, dude, we're killing it in the bedroom right now. Deal with that, you know. We could get to that place, and that would honor God because there'd be a lot of hard work and a lot of selflessness that would happen in the bedroom. And that's my hope for us. Okay, not that you go out of here and try some crazy position or do something wild and crazy. It's that you would have the conversation about what would it look like to move towards each other. Okay, so it's a big deal. Okay, don't make too little of it. Don't make too much of it. But our sex lives is something we have got to address. And I just don't want us to push it under the rug and say, we'll talk about communication. We'll talk about finances. We don't talk about sex. That's not Christian. Okay? Great. Thanks for listening. Guys, we'll wrap it up here.